Good morning.
Good morning.
New life in Christ, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, when you got that new life, that's gone. It's in the past. It does not exist anymore in God's sight. And it shouldn't exist in yours either, because you are a new person. You are a new creation in Christ. I love that song and the promise that it reminds me of. It's good to gather for worship. I was out in the duck blind this morning, and the ducks weren't flying. They weren't cooperating, but I had the colors of the trees reflected in the water. I had these beautiful cloud formations. I still had the full moon right there, even though the sun was coming up. And I was just in awe. I'm just, wow, God. Wow. Wow. This tiny speck of rock out in the universe that we call Earth, surrounded by, you know, the vastness of space and all these galaxies, and there's life on it. All kinds of life. There's these trees, there's, you know, ducks that weren't there. But, I mean, then there's all the stuff swimming in the water, the birds and the cattails and stuff like that. And we're privileged to be alive. And we're privileged to experience that. So I start just singing. And I'm singing hymns of praise. I'm singing worship songs. And a couple of times I had a shotgun cradled in one hand. I'm lifting my hand in worship with the other out there in the duck blind. It was great. I could just feel the presence. And I was, like I say, it was... you've had those times you're driving down the road in the motorcycle, or else you're in your car, or whatever like that. You're just overcome, you know, with God's goodness. And that was it this morning. So if you ever want sunrise worship in the duck blind, let me know, okay? Get in the canoe, we'll go out there. Or maybe you've got a better duck blind where they're actually flying, and I'll come worship with you in the morning. I'm cool with that too, you know. But it was just, what a wonderful worship experience. And it was so genuine and so raw. It was not planned. It was just spontaneous worship. And I don't know how many songs I sang out there and stuff, and it was just really, really cool. But here we are together to worship. And when we lift our voices, when we merge our spirits together, we can feel God's presence in an even better way. So, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to worship. We thank you for life, Lord. We thank you for life, and we thank you for new life in you, that in you we are a new creation. That the past does not exist. It cannot be used against us by the enemy in any way, shape, or form, because we are not that person anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's start with our readings.
Our lesson this morning is from 1 John, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 6. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Our second lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Here ends the lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." If you're in the reading, you may be seated. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to gather together in your name and in your presence, to praise you, to connect with you, and to learn from you, and to grow to be more like you. So bless these words, Lord, that they would speak to our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing on in 1 John. Again, John, an eyewitness to all this. He is one of the disciples closest to Jesus, and he tells us what he experienced in the Gospel of John. He tells us in the three letters of John, and then he tells us some incredible things in Revelation as well. But to hear, again, these firsthand eyewitness accounts. John starts out this section today saying, "My dear children." And we're going to see this throughout. You know, we go to verse 7, "Dear friends." We go to verse 18, "Dear children." This is the last hour. Verse 28, "And now, dear children, continue in him." He's using this throughout. "Dear friends" in chapter 4. "You, dear children." Again, it's... we're going to hear this a lot in the coming weeks. "And dear friends," here I see it again. I mean, just everywhere. And this shows his concern. He has a concern for the people. Calling him dear, and us as well, my dear children. He's older now at this point, and he's an elder in the church, of course. And "my dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin." Okay, that translation part... it sounds like we're not going to sin again. Okay, that does happen, unfortunately. But so you will not want to sin. So you will not want to. You're not that way anymore. You're not going to have those desires. You're not going to have those urges. That old lifestyle that you had, whoever you are, and whoever these people were, they are freed from it when they accept Christ and become that new creation in Christ. We no longer want to do those things. We have left that sinful lifestyle behind. It's in the past. It does not exist anymore once we walk with Christ. So yes, we will not do that anymore. We will not be that person anymore. "I am not the same. I'm a new creation." Again, that song keeps coming back to me, and it means so much. But if anybody does sin, and we will, you know, we've given up our sinful lifestyle, but we're still going to screw up at times. It happens, but not in that same way, right? Because we have the new mindset. We have the mind of Christ. We are not that person anymore. But yeah, we're going to do things wrong. You might say something bad about someone. You might give in to, you know, a little bit of, I don't know, emotion here and there, or anger, or something like that at times. But then, hey, apologize, you know, make up afterwards. You know, we screw up. It happens. We're human. But we're no longer that old person is the thing here. And he's telling us it will happen, right? And if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. None of us is perfect, okay? No one is. No human is. So, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He died to take care of all your sin. If we'll just acknowledge it and accept it, right? He did that because he loves us that much. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Yes, he had died as that sacrifice in our place. Not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And a lot of that world still rejects him. Okay, people have heard, but they reject it, or else they just, I want to go on living my life. I don't have time for that religion stuff. Or, you know, maybe when I'm old in the last year or something like that, then maybe I'll turn to that. You never know when your last year is going to be, right? I mean, I could walk out of here and get hit by a truck right now, or after worship, and I can walk out right now, okay? I'll have a massive heart attack while I'm up here. But if I do, I know I'm going to be with Christ. And I have no worries. We have that freedom in Christ, right? We are not only free from the past, we're free from anxiety, we're free from guilt, we're free from shame, we're free from all that stuff, but we are also free to live in freedom. That we are free to have peace, to have hope, to have confidence, to have joy, to have love. People think that the Christian lifestyle, you're giving up so much stuff. Yeah, you're giving up all the bad stuff, but you have now freedom. And I don't even want to do those things anymore. I don't even want to anymore. And that is freedom, where that no longer has a hold on me. It doesn't. I am now free. And so that freedom of the Christian lifestyle is just incredible. And it happens when we come to know Him. When we make that decision to turn our life to Him and just let go of that past. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. So it's going to show in our lives. When we have come to know Him, it's going to show in our lives. And we're going to obey His commands, not because we have to, but because we want to, right? Because we are that new person now. And this is who I am. I have joy. I have peace. I have love in my heart. All these things, all this good stuff that is light, all the darkness is out of there now, okay? It's going to try to pop up every once in a while, okay? Knock it back down, all right? And the little thought's going to come up right now, okay? No, I'm not that person anymore. I'm free from that. But okay, nope. You talk to my dad about that. Talk to God about that, okay? Or talk to the one who died for me about that. When those thoughts come up, when those temptations come up, just, hey, go talk to Jesus about that. Because I'm His now. I'm no longer yours. I'm no longer anybody else's. I am His. So the incredible freedom that we have, and then obeying His commands, again, not because we have to, but because now we want to. Now we want to. It's who we are. It becomes who we are. And that is incredible, to have that new life, and it is who we are. So we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. Again, it will show by the way you live and what you speak. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The truth who is Jesus, right? So saying one thing and doing another. We know people like that. Maybe we've been there at times where we say one thing but do another. Okay, that's basically hypocrisy. So for anybody that says, I know Him, I know Jesus and I'm a Christian, but doesn't do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So let our actions line up with our words and our beliefs. Let our actions line up with our words. Because again, actions speak louder than words many times. And if people hear you preaching the gospel, but they see you living a different lifestyle, it's going to show. Okay? And that would not be good. If we are given to Him completely, again, we don't even want to do those things anymore. Okay? But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Yeah, it shows. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. We cannot walk the perfect life that Jesus did, but we can walk a new life with him. And again, it's going to show that we have that new life. People that have known you for a long time, they're going to go, wow. Or else people may haven't seen you in a long time. They knew you back when, but they see you now and go, wow, what happened to that person? Jesus. Yep, absolutely. So when you've undergone that life change, it's just an incredible thing. So we are changed to be more like Him. And again, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's what that song was based on. I am not the same. I'm a new creation. We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. We have new life in Him. And again, it will show. So following those commands is something that is now a part of who we are. It's ingrained in us. It's no longer, I'm going to try to be good, I'm going to try to not sin, I'm going to try to follow these commandments. No, it becomes a part of who we are when we are changed to be like Him. We have a changed life, we have a new life. And that's the beauty of it. But those commands then will speak to others when we follow them. And we had seen that in Deuteronomy as well. The Old Testament here, it seems burdensome at times, and especially God's commands, but His commands are not burdensome, it tells us. And it just, again, is a part of who we are. But here in Deuteronomy, God's instructing people with commands once again, but for our good, right? Commands are not limiting. Thou shalt not. We're not going to even want to do that anymore, so don't worry about it, right? So these commands are to keep us on the right path, to help us to do that, to follow His ways and follow His laws. And again, they're not burdensome. They're for our protection, and they show us His love. Because He cares, He sets guidelines. Because He cares, He sets guidelines. Like raising Kennedy there. You tell her no at times, right? And it's not to punish her or anything like it. It's because you care, right? Then that's hot. Stay away from it or something. Teach her that, even at a young age. It's because you care. And God was that same way with the commands in the Old Testament. He's keeping us from harm. If we walk in His ways, follow His ways, we are kept from harm because we don't know the dangers. Okay, just like Kennedy with a hot stove or something like that. Now she's starting to walk around and get into things. We don't always know the dangers, but God does. And because He loves us, He has set these commands up. And He wants us to keep them in mind here. So in Deuteronomy it says, keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you so that you may enjoy long life. It is for our good. It is for our benefit. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. You'll live under God's blessings as you follow in His ways and follow His commands and have that lifestyle. His blessings will abound. I'm not going to say everything's going to be, you know, a garden of roses, okay? And the roses, of course, have thorns sometimes, but not His roses, okay? He's got like the perfect ones. So, life is still tough, but we're living with Him and following His commands. We live under the blessing and things go better with us. Things go better. So hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. Yes. And then verse 4. It starts out with what the Jews call the Shema. It's their morning prayer. They get up every morning, and then in the evening, too, they say the Shema. It involves three Old Testament readings. This is the first part of it here. So every morning, just to get their priorities straight, to start the day, they pray. And I can't do it in Hebrew, but I'll do it in English. Okay. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Setting your priorities straight for the day. To love God with all that you are, with your everything, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with your everything, to love Him that way. And that's something that, do we do that all the time? Probably not. We get so caught up with the what am I doing today? I got to get this done, that done, you know, and all the worries and the cares and everything like that. And God says, don't worry. Yeah, okay, I got to remember that. But to put Him foremost, to follow Him with who you are and what you do, to love Him with your everything, heart, soul, mind, and strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. We shouldn't have to read them because, again, they're a part of who we are. They become a part of who we are as believers, as Christians, as those who follow Jesus. When we are changed, they are upon our hearts. And as a result of God within us, then, it just guides us and reminds us. He goes a little bit further, right? Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. So absolutely, with your kids, with your grandkids, talk with them about faith and what's important. It's a part of our daily life. It's not something we do on Sunday morning. It's who we are. It's what we do. We are believers. We live it out 24/7 is the deal. Giving God the glory, honoring Him with what we say and do, bringing that joy and that hope to others. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So we're constantly reminded. Every time you come into your house, you see it right there on your door frame or on your gates. We don't have that, but maybe we should. Tie them on your foreheads. They do that. And even some of the devout Jews today, they have this little box there on their forehead. It's called a phylactery, and they have the commandments in it. And it's typically with a leather strap. It's held there. You can look up that later on. You'll see it. And also binding them, they wear these bindings on their arms too with God's commands as a reminder. So they see it everywhere they go, and they're constantly reminded. Okay, we maybe don't do that, have it bound on our forehead, but if it's a part of who we are, it does go with us everywhere we go. And we don't have to look on it to be reminded because it's who we are now when we are that new creation in Christ. His commands are something that we just naturally do. We don't stop and think about it. We just naturally do it because it's who you are. Right? Each of us has our own personality. It's our own gifts, our own selves, and it's just who we are. It's what we do. Do you stop and think, who am I? What should I do? No, you just do who you are. You do what you are, right? And when you are that new creation in Christ, then what you are and what you do is aligned with Him because it's from Him. He's in your heart. He's, you know, in the pilot seat just sort of guiding everything without us even thinking or acknowledging it. It's just who we are. I love it. So this part, the Shema, is what Jesus reminded the Pharisees of in the gospel today as well. Our gospel reading starts out hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. The Pharisees got together. All right, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Again, they were two very powerful bodies of people, or groups of people, in Judaism at that time. You had the Pharisees sought to follow God faithfully in everything. They just paid attention to every little law, every little speck of everything, and they were very careful with the commandments because they wanted to like live the perfect life, okay? They were those people. Sadducees, very similar, devoted to the law, devoted to following God, as they understood him, 100%. They had political power. They were tied in with the Romans to a large extent, behind the scenes and everything like that. So as a result, they were driven by power many times. And they had a lot of the governing seats on the Sanhedrin. The Pharisees had some, the Sadducees had some. They were different. Sadducees did not believe in eternal life. And one guy at our Bible study, every time he hears that, he says, you know, they don't believe in eternal life. That's why they were so sad, you see. Okay. I've heard him say it many times. And they go, yeah. So every time I see that, it comes to mind too. So the Pharisees did believe in a hereafter and in angels. The Sadducees did not. Alrighty. But they were both vying for power. They both had powerful positions. And they were sort of at odds with each other. But now they had a common enemy and a common threat. And that unites people. You got people that are different, whatever like that. If the common enemy comes up, all of a sudden they'll band together to do it, right? Got a lot of division in our country right now, for example. But if we're attacked by someone, do we all come together to fight? And that's the deal here. The Pharisees and the Sadducees have this common threat in Jesus. And Jesus had just silenced the Sadducees. If you could do it, the reading beforehand there, the marriage at the resurrection. And he talked about the life after. And the Sadducees are So now here's the Pharisees' chance. They see that he had silenced the Sadducees, it says in verse 34. And here's their chance to sort of show up the Sadducees too, right? So we're going to cook up a question and we're going to catch Jesus once again. Pharisees are all about the laws. They're all about the regulations, all about the rules. There are 613 laws, Levitical laws in the Old Testament. And they followed every single one. You can't work on the Sabbath, and they set limits like you can only walk so many steps on the Sabbath. So they don't even get close to God's law. They set up their own laws beforehand, the rumble stirrups before the guardrails, is what I like to call them. So they had all their own laws that they'd added to this, so they wouldn't even get close to breaking God's laws because it was all about the law. It was all about following God and honoring him. So the intent on the heart was good. They want to honor God in all they say and do. They want to make sure they don't break his laws. But it became more about their rituals and their traditions and their laws than about God. Because they built a religion about following these strict rules that they created. And when that becomes the object, and God's not the object, something is wrong. It's all about God. All about God, always. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. It's all about him. It's not about man-made rituals, not about man-made traditions, not about understanding. It's about relationship with him. Keep it straight. Priorities. So they got someone, they say, one of them an expert. They got together, one of them an expert in the law, tested him with this question. So they got together, cooked up a question, and who's going to ask it? Hey, let's get Bob. He's good at this kind of stuff. So hey, you go ask him, all right? So they get this guy to go ask Jesus in front of everybody. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And they had 613 of them. They want to know which is the most. Now, some laws were binding. They had to be done. They were an obligation. And some of the Pharisees said that the sacrifice was the most important. You had to have your sacrifices. Others said it was the law of circumcision, which was required for all males. It was extremely important. And they thought that was the most important law. Others said the law of the Sabbath. You can't work on the Sabbath. And that should govern everything. That is the law above all laws. Others said it was washing and rituals before meals, that was the most important. All these things had to be done. They want to know what's the most important. The lawyers always argue, yeah. And these the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the scribes, teachers of the law, the lawyers were in with them too, and some of them were Pharisees, absolutely, okay. So they're having these big discussions, and they had disagreement within themselves, and they said, well, here's a chance. If he says the law of the Sabbath, we can say, well, what about sacrifice, etc.? Again, they're trying to trap him. But he replies with Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. If you are putting God first, will you sacrifice? Yes. If you are putting God first, will you observe the Sabbath? Yes. if you're putting God first, will you do all these other things? Yeah, because it's part of who you are. Again, it's not because you have to. It's not because you have to. It's a part of who you are when God is first in your life. What a great reminder. If we do this, put God first in your life, give yourself over to Jesus, follow him, give up your whole self. That's the tough part because we want to hold a little bit back. Well, can I still do this and be a Christian? Well, yeah, I suppose you can. You can still give your life to Christ, but when you're giving it completely, the more completely you give yourself, let's put it that way, the less you'll want to do those other things. That's it. Because are we ever completely there? Yeah, I still got a few things I like to hold back for myself too, you know, but we all do. We all do. But the major sins, that other lifestyle is gone. And these other temptations are going to arise, and they're little things compared to that, perhaps, but they are still not observing God's laws. You know, if I want to do something selfish, I want to do this for myself rather than do something for someone else. And, you know, there's all these things, all these decisions. Okay. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It sums it up. Love God and love others. If we love God, we will also show love to others, because that's what he does, still does. Not to say he did on the cross, but he still does. And the more we become like him, the more we are going to show love to others as well. We're going to serve others, we're going to help others, we're going to be there for others. It's all about others. That's Jesus. It was never about him, it was always about others. He didn't other others. He didn't put them out there. He went among the others. He spent the time with them. He cared and still does. Amen.